All right, we're going to continue with the life of David, and I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23, and we're looking at David's years as a fugitive between the ages of 20 and 30. Last week we concluded with a truth that I don't want you to miss. To the believer in Jesus Christ who loves the Lord. And I say that as a preface to this message and really many Bible truths. Our hearts and our relationship with God is the most important part of our lives. When we believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord should become the very everything to your life. Now, I recognize that it's a growing process. It doesn't happen overnight. It does more with some than others. But gradually, you will mature in Christ to realize one day, as I did, this truth. And it was a surrendering point. And the surrendering point came when I realized that I had lived 21 years of my life. And I don't know how many years, how old you are. But I had lived 21 years of my life, driven my life behind a steering wheel. And I turned the steering wheel over to the Lord. And I gave him my life and I said, anything you would ever want me to do, here I am. Now that's also a process that grows. And it seems it's never really all finalized, but it will be one day. But it is a process of growing in surrender to God. And so when I say to the believer in Christ who loves the Lord, I'm saying that you can love the Lord from the first day you're saved. You can love Jesus Christ and it will grow. But I'm saying that David was a man who loved the Lord, and as a result, God blessed David. God will bless those who are growing in surrender. And God knows if you're growing in surrender to love him and keep his commandments. And I ended last week with this truth. From 1 Samuel chapter 2, I gave the illustration of two different priests. They came from two different lines of Aaron. And the one priest was a guy by the name of Phinehas. And he was the guy who, when one of the Simeonite leaders, a very important, powerful person in Israel, came into the camp with a Moabite woman who was probably a temple prostitute from the Moabites. And he just strutted into the hole before all the people and took her into his tent. And Phinehas, the priest, took a spear and ran it through them and killed both of them and stopped the plague that was going on that God was judging Israel for this sin of idolatry. Then the next guy, so God said that his priesthood would remain forever and he would even be a priest in the millennial kingdom. Then there was the sons of Eli. Eli was the priest from I believe it's Ithamar lineage of Aaron. And Eli was the other branch of priests. This is a little bit technical, I realize. Two branches, two sons of Aaron, two branches of priests. And Eli had two sons who were also priests. And both sons, they had people who worked at the temple. They had girls that worked at the temple. They were not immoral girls. But the sons of the priests, priests themselves were laying with these ladies and committing sin. And Eli was also getting fat off of the sacrifices that were being wrongly taken by the two sons. And as a result, God said to Eli, sent a messenger to Eli, and he said to Eli that I'm taking the priesthood from your family. And we saw last week the destruction of his family in that message, Eli's family and that lineage of side of priesthood. But one person, Abiathar, which we'll run into today. But here's the point. God said this to Eli, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, I will despise. Now, I don't know the condition of your life this morning, spiritually, in your relationship of growing in Christ. I don't know, maybe you're here and you've never even accepted Jesus Christ and faith in him to be your Lord and Savior. But if you have and you're living a life that is devoid of following him as your Lord and obeying his word, then I'm saying to you, don't expect God to just say, I'll bless you anyway. Because God won't just bless you anyway. A lot of people say they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not here to discourage your faith. I'm here to hoping that maybe you might hear something today that says, you know what? I want to follow Christ and to be in a place of blessing. Because we're going to see this morning, there's a difference between Saul and David. Big difference. God is going to bless David, and he's going to provide for him miraculously. And I believe that the same God, please hear this, this is the point of the message. I believe that the same God that David knew, loved, and worshiped, and prayed to, is the same God that you and I pray to. Except we have even greater power in prayer. We're going to talk about that this morning. It's very, very important. Let's look at here now in 1 Samuel chapter 23. And begin in verse 1. Then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors. Of course, the Philistines are one of the major enemies of Israel at this time. And they were fighting against Israelites in the city of Keilah and robbing their threshing floors. We'll talk about that. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said to him, look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Let me quickly pray here. Lord, I don't pray as a formality. I pray because I acknowledge that this is your word. This is your people. This is your hour of teaching. And I pray for you to speak to our hearts and to please use me and to use the hearts of your people to grow in Christ. And I pray if there's one here that's never believed in you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, if there's one here that you're working in their hearts to save them, even speak to them this morning in this message. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I don't know how many of you have ever... This is David praying. And I want to go back here to this map. You probably can't see it. But David, do I have a pointer on this? Yes, no, maybe. Whoop. David is located right here along the Dead Sea, and he goes up and down this area in caves. Now, Saul is located up here at Gibeah. And look where Keilah is. Keilah's right in between them. And so when David inquires of the Lord and says, do you want me to go up and save the people of Keilah? This was a city, a border city, and the Philistines at the threshing, you know what the threshing is? The fall harvest. Joe knows what I'm talking about, when you go out and harvest your crops. And the Philistines would invade this city that was, this town that was close to them, cross over the border and invade it, and guess what they would do? They'd take the crops. And so David heard that this was going on, and this was really cool. David knew that he would be risking a lot if he would go up to Keilah. He could be risking, but why? Why do you think? Because he's closer to Saul. And Saul could find him and easily come down, which we'll see that he will. But David goes up to Keilah. He prays and says, God, what do you want me to do? And the Lord says, go and save him. Right? Prayer. Do you pray about everything? Do you pray about everything? Do you pray about the boy you're dating? Or the girl that you're dating? Do you pray much about that? Do you pray about your school, your studies? Do you pray about that you might be a good boss and you might be a good employee? Do you pray for wisdom? Is prayer an important part? David knew prayer was an important part. Do you pray for your children, parents, your grandchildren, grandparents? Do you pray and ask God? And you say, well, of course I do. Do you do that every day? Do you seek God every day in prayer? I think David was a man who took time and stopped and prayed. And we're going to look at that today much. But they go up to Keilah, and of course, they deliver the city. And then David gets inside Keilah. But here's the point. The Lord provides to the believer in Christ. The Lord gives direct access to him and provision for all your needs. How many of you really believe that the Lord can provide for all your needs? How many of you really believe that? Thank you. We should believe when we come to God that he will answer our prayers. David came to God and God answered his prayers. And he did it. And I remember one time I was fishing out in, I don't even know where I was, Charlestown, somewhere along Maryland and in along the Bay Area that goes down. I don't know where it was. I was with a guy. This was back when I was in youth ministry. And this guy took me out on his nice boat, and we went in to an inlet fishing. And this was salt water. And we were fishing at night, and all of a sudden, and I was catching flounder. I was doing my favorite thing in the world, catching flounder. And I was catching flounder, and then it started to get dusk, and he said, we better get moving. And guess what had happened? We were in some of these inlets, and the tide had went out. And we were hitting bottom. And I wasn't much smaller back then. I went up to the front of the boat, got on the front of this nice boat. This was a nice boat. This was a nice boat. And lifted the motor up, and we managed to get out of that inlet. So when we got out into the bay area, it was at night, and it was foggy. And Anybody know what you follow in the fog when it's low tide? What is it? Lights. You better find the lights that keep you in the channels in the bay. You have to stay, and you go from the first green light that is there when you come out of the inlet, and then you look for the next green light. You better hope you can see it. And you head straight towards that green light. And then when you get to that green light, you can see another green light in the distance. And you follow the green lights all the way till you get in to where you harbor. That is much the way the Christian life is. It is following God one step at a time. When it says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, we need to be always praying every day and looking for, God, what's the next step? Where do I go from here? That's important. But God provides direct access to himself. Now we're going to camp here for a minute. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered David. And then his soldier said, man, we don't want to go up to Keilah, because they were afraid Saul would be there waiting for them too. But so David inquired again, and the Lord said, go. David ended up not only delivering Keilah, but he ended up with food, with a whole lot of food. He captured all the beef, the cattle that the Philistines had, and he got food for himself. But here's the point I want to make. David didn't think of himself. His men were thinking of themselves, of their safety. David had put the people of Keilah before anything else. And God said, I'll be with you and take care of you. That's an important thing to pray. When you're praying, are you praying, God, what's your will? What's your will? Guide me in this step. Not considering just myself here, but what's best for the people, what's best for this church. In the Old Testament, boy, this thing's touchy today. God provided earthly priests to represent and mediate before God for the people. They performed acts of worship and sacrifice. As you look at this text, David gets to Keilah, and at Keilah something happens. And let's just look at it. Verse 7 says, and Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering the town, and he has gates and bars. See, the city of Keilah evidently didn't have many ways out, and it had gates there and barred windows. So Saul knew, he thought he had him trapped. Verse 8, then Saul called all the people together for war. He calls all his soldiers together to go to war against David and his 600 men, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring the ephod here. Now, Abiathar is the only surviving son of all the priests of the lineage of Ithamar. Abiathar is the son of, I can't remember the guy's name last week, Ahimelech, I think it was. Ahimelech was the father. And Abiathar somehow didn't go along with the priests that went up to Saul. Remember last week when he killed them all? Abiathar wasn't there, and Abiathar escaped. And when he escaped, he went to David. All right? Now, and Abiathar brought the ephod with him. Now, let me just go to the ephod. And he says to David says to him, bring the ephod here. Verse 10, then David said, O Lord God of Israel, David's praying with this ephod, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, can you imagine how disappointing? They will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. Now, the ephod. Here comes the priest. That's kind of funny, isn't it? There was one priest from the lineage still left, Abiathar. And guess what he brought with him? The thing called the ephod. Now, this is what a high priest dressed in. You can see these garments, and you can see on the right the chest of the ephod. And that has 12 stones. And engraved on those stones were all the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the priest, if you remember, the high priest would once a year wear this garment, go into the Holy of Holies, offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people in the Day of Atonement. And he would always bear upon his chest the names of the people that he had to oversee, care for, the 12 tribes of Israel. And you can see their garment was quite elaborate. But inside that ephod on the right, was a thing called the Urim and the Thummim. That's a bit weird to get into all this, but the Urim and the Thummim, or the lights and perfections, was kept in an inside pouch of this linen ephod. Now, nobody knows what the Urim and Thummim look like. This was one thing, you know, you ever see those things that kids used to do that years ago? I don't know what it's called. What's it called? Dreidel. Some think it looked like that. Another thought it was two stones. And the answer was given through pulling out a stone or something like that. Doesn't matter. Here's the point. The priest was the representative, the high priest was the representative of Israel. And to David, had his own priest for his own people. And David's priest was this young man. Now, priestly robes today, I believe their ritual is Old Testament pattern. You know, you have priestly people that wear priestly robes today. They almost look similar, don't they? Now, that's neither here nor there, but I'm saying that much of religion today, whether it's the incense swinging or the sprinkling of water and stuff like that, those are Old Testament pictures. And that's what a lot of this is. Now, that has nothing to do with nothing except I wanted to share that with you. But today, what about today? Do we still have a priesthood? What do you think? We do, don't we? Do we still have a high priest? Christ. Today, our high priest is God's only son. And when we believe in and turn to Jesus, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, God, by his infinite grace, freely gives us, think of this, his righteousness. And we are holy and without blame before him in love. Today, I stand in Jesus Christ with God's righteousness. I am as righteous as Jesus Christ because I have his righteousness. And I stand, as the scripture says in Ephesians 1:4, I stand holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I want you to understand where I stand. I stand righteous in Christ. Where is Christ right now? The right hand of the Father. Turn there to Matthew 26. I was reading the Apostles' Creed this week, and this scripture about Christ being at the right hand of the Father in the New Testament, and we're going to spend a lot of time here in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 64, Jesus says this to the priests, the high priest that was questioning him in verse 62, and the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." I'm saying to you that I stand completely righteous, and so do you if you're a believer in Christ, without blame. Can you imagine being without blame before God? Think of that. Without blame. In Christ, by grace. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of your works, lest you should boast. We are without blame before Jesus Christ this morning, perfect in his righteousness. Now I want you to look at these verses in Ephesians chapter 2, 3 through 7. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to understand your position in Christ. And this may be the only point I get to cover today because it's just such an important truth to communicate. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Look at this grace. It says, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as everyone is. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." Made us alive together with Christ. We are alive together with Christ. We who were once by nature children of wrath now are made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now look at verse 6. "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I'm saying to you that though I am physically on this earth, as you can see, in my spirit, in God's eyes, I'm seated with Jesus Christ right now. Now, how close is God and Jesus? They're as close as you are with God. Together. And we are raised together with Christ. In 1 John 2:1-2, it says, verse 2 says, "And we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world." The word propitiation just means payment. He is the acceptable payment for what? For our sins. All of them. And today, I have an advocate. You know what an advocate is? Somebody who goes to bat for you. When you sin, and the accuser of the brethren, Satan, says, "You see that Mike up there? You see what he just thought? And Jesus said, yes, but my blood is on the mercy seat that atoned for his sins, and he's righteous. He's without blame. You say, well, doesn't deserve it. Well, of course he doesn't deserve it. No one deserves it. We were all children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, raised us up to sit us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, turn there with me too, please. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm teaching this because David didn't have what we have today, and yet God still heard his prayers. But look at what we have today. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. See, David had Abithar, and Abithar had the ephod to inquire of God. Guess who we have as a high priest? Jesus our Lord. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I'm saying to you, that David's prayers were heard by God and answered specifically. And you have even a greater high priest and a greater means of acceptance than even David had. God leads us by his word and prayer. But today God provides access and all his power and provisions to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ for his glory and our joy. Do you really believe that God's able to hear your prayers and answer them? God, but what does his will have to do with it? His will has a lot to do with it. Praying in his will. And also, our relationship with understanding who we are in Christ, and our faith. Do we have faith that God cares? Did God care about David? Very, very minutely. Does God care about you? Do you believe that? It's true. It's still true. All of these verses talk about God in his provision to us. I guess I want to just share one with you, and let's look at the one in Ephesians chapter 3. And you might say to me that, well, David was special. And I would only say to you, so are you. That God has a purpose and plan. Chapter 3 talks about God's... Paul is praying, verse 14, and for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you... Here's his prayer, and I believe it's a prayer that every pastor should pray for his people, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in agape, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now in chapter 1, Paul prays this. Chapter 1, verse 15, verse 17. Chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that is, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus in the Holy Spirit, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Have your eyes been enlightened today to understand how rich you are? Have your eyes been enlightened today to see that you're in the very presence and you live there all the time? You know, I was listening to the radio on the way in, and this girl said, you know, they have apps today that you can order a Starbucks coffee through your phone. Order what you want at Starbucks through your phone and pay for it through your phone. You know that? And then just stop in and pick it up and go. Right? You know what? That's the way we walk with God. We need to be walking, praying without ceasing, and seeing that God is right there. And He is longing for you to pray about whatever it is you may be worrying about. He is longing for you to pray about the person that's whispering about you at work, or the person who's abusing you. And I'm not talking about physical, but verbal abuse. You can pray, and you can put your order in with God all the time and pray without ceasing. And I'm saying to you that today you have access in all His power and provisions. How much is that? He says in this verse, He said that you might be filled with the fullness of God. How full is God? That's how full you are if you know God. If you really know your position in Jesus Christ and your salvation that you have in Jesus Christ and the abundance of the riches of His love for you. The abundance of the riches of His beauty in your life. And to think that you can love with the love of God, does that not move you to gratitude? Does that not stir you to want to go love? To want to go give your life to help somebody else in the name of Jesus and love them? And I want to just read this last verse. Turn to chapter 3, verse 20. Paul prays that we would know the exceeding greatness of His power. And he says, you know, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, how much power did it take to raise Jesus from the dead? A lot of power. Anybody else here seen somebody raised from the dead? Anybody ever walk up to a casket and said, rise and walk? Not lately, right? The power of Jesus Christ is beyond your comprehension. And that's the power that He's given to you in prayer. And I'm saying that the same God that was with David is the same God that's with you. And He will guide you, and He will bless you, and He will protect you, and which we'll have to get to the next time. Now to him, verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Is your God able to do abundantly above what you're able to ask or even imagine? God is a miraculous God. I brought a plaque in today. It's a plaque that I brought back from Indianapolis. And I learned in Indianapolis, when I went out to Indianapolis, I didn't know where I was going. I knew I had a place to live. I knew my kids were registered to go to school. And I knew I had a job in construction. But I was living with my friends, the Coopers, and I didn't know what that was going to entail. But I was there in the providence of God. That was the only door, if my wife were here, she'd tell you, it was the only door in the world open to me, to us, as a family. Three kids, my wife and I, moved in with the Coopers and their three kids. And I went to work and didn't do real well. Construction slowed down, so I decided to sell cars. I prayed, and you know me, I like cars. So I prayed, and I went to selling cars. And the first month I sold a half a car. That's true, sold a half a car. Second month, I think I sold eight cars. And then I decided to change dealerships. And I went to a different part of town. I walked in near New, and I sold 15 cars in the month of December as a top salesman. So I get to drive any car in the lot I wanted to drive. That's true. I could drive any car. And I drove a sports car. I was younger. I'd still drive a sports car, but anyway, and then I started to make a lot of money, and I made a lot of money. And there was a time, though, it was in December, before things, it was middle December, and I came home, my wife, and I said, "Sweetheart, tell the kids we're not having Christmas this year because we don't have any money." And we sat there and talked and faced the situation. And I opened the mail, and in the mail that day was a check for $1,500 that a guy sent me from the construction job that I worked for a month. Sent me a $1,500 bonus. That's crazy, isn't it? And I carried his card for years and always would call him and thank him. But I left Indianapolis really having experienced this saying, "The Lord provides." Now, this will really tie in better with the next message, because we're going to see that God provides some miraculous things for David. And I want you to know this, that the same is true for you. The Lord will provide for whatever your need is. And so maybe you're at a place like David was. The Kenites, by the way, will turn him over. Would have turned him over. And then, well, I better leave it there. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, mostly today, you know, you taught us about our position in Christ and the power of yours that we have in our prayers. Help us to see and believe that you, God, are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even imagine through your power that works in us. Help us to grow in our faith to know you intimately, to know you and love you completely, and to surrender our lives to you in Christ. And Lord, if there's one here that's never accepted you, Jesus, yet, doesn't know what we're even talking about as far as your death on the cross and your resurrection, Lord, you died for them. You took in your body their sins when you died on that cross. And thank you that you arose and ascended back to your Father. And you have sent your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts when we believe in you. And I just pray if there's one here that's never believed in you, Christ, that they would be drawn to want you as their Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, Christ. Amen.